Greetings and blessings, dear friends. In this video, I want to go more deeply into the second portal of the Integral Jewish Meditation Practice, the portal of the body and the senses. Now, why is the body so important? In the last video, we established the kavanah, the intention or motivation to take on when you want to meditate or become present in any moment. The kavanah is offering your awareness as a gift. Why? Ordinarily, when we decide to meditate, there's often a selfish motive behind it. Understandably, because meditation is good for you, and it helps you to connect with peace and joy and bliss and all those good things. But the selfish motive itself is contrary to presence. So to counteract this, realize that your presence is also an act of service. When you work on yourself, you're going to be more of a blessing for others. And presence is actually the most basic gift you can give to anyone anyway. So in IJM, we begin with the heart, offering our awareness to the fullness of this moment and chanting Lecha, which means for you. That's the first portal. Now you can become present instantly just by doing that. And there's no real mental discipline involved here. It's just about taking on an attitude of loving kindness, also known as chesed in Kabbalah, and becoming present through that intention. In the next part, the portal of the body, we now introduce a little discipline in the sense that as we connect awareness with the body, the mind inevitably wanders, and so we have to simply return back again and again. This is kind of the opposite of chesed in a sense, because chesed is all about opening and offering, but now we're focusing and limiting awareness to the present moment experience of the body and restraining it from the ever-flowing tendrils of thought. This takes practice and it takes a little strength, and so in Kabbalah this is called gevura, or strength. Gevura is the complementary opposite of chesed. So why is there such a strong inner tendency to get seduced by our own thoughts? It's because that separate self-sense known as ego needs your continuous thinking in order to exist. Let's talk a bit about this thing called ego to get a better sense of what's going on when our minds are constantly moving. There's a story about a certain rabbi who was leading services on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, Yom Kippur is very long and intense, filled with language of remorse and repentance for one's sins. And it's also a 25-hour fast, so you're hungry and weak. Now, as this rabbi was davening, praying with great intensity toward the climax of the service, he suddenly became overwhelmed with the realization of his own insignificance. Before he knew what he was doing, he spontaneously cried out, "Ribono shel olam, ribono shel olam, master of the universe, I am nothing, I am nothing." When the chazan, the cantor, saw him do this, he too became inspired. The sincerity of the rabbi's cry, combined with the intensity of the holy day, shot through him. And he suddenly realized the same thing. "Ribono shel olam, I am nothing, I am nothing," cried the chazan. The truth was infectious. Suddenly, a poor congregant, Shmuley the shoemaker, also became deeply moved and cried out as well. "Ribono shel olam, I am nothing, I am nothing." When the chazan saw Shmuley's enthusiasm, he turned to the rabbi and said, "Look who thinks he's nothing." The irony of the story, of course, is that the chazan becomes arrogant about being humble. And this is the great trick of the ego. The ego can turn anything into itself, even the idea of being egoless. That's why it's so important to understand the ego if we want to not get seduced by it. So what is the ego? The word ego, as I'm using the word, refers simply to the natural felt sense of self. It's really a psychological version of a creature. Just as an animal wants to survive, protect, and perpetuate itself, so does our ego, only on a psychological level. And just as an animal is basically concerned with the physical body, ego is concerned with identity. Ego is made not out of flesh, but out of thoughts and feelings. Have you ever gotten angry about being right? Or felt insulted by someone else's opinions? We see so much of this nowadays, right? This happens because words and thoughts that go against what we believe are a threat to the ego. They threaten the thoughts and feelings that form our identity. For this reason, the Tanya, the classic Hasidic text written by Shneur Zalman of Liadi, calls the ego the Nefesh Behamit, or the animal soul. The Tanya then outlines the qualities of ego in terms of the four mystical elements: fire, water, air, and earth. These four elements, which take their names from physical phenomena, are really inner qualities of consciousness that have both negative and positive manifestations. Now, if you can understand and remember these qualities in real life situations, you can learn to identify the negative qualities of ego within yourself and not be controlled by them. So what are the four qualities? Fire is arrogance and anger. The Tanya points out that arrogance is actually the cause of anger, because anger results from things not going how we'd like them to. It's only because we arrogantly believe that things should always go our way that we feel conflict, and from that conflict, anger is born. So fire represents negativity and conflict with what is. It's related to the slang term hothead, and it's the most aggressive and nasty face of ego. Next is water, which represents desire and craving for gratification. So while fire is all about what you don't want, water is about what you do want: craving for sensual pleasures, for wealth, fame, success. These are all examples of water. The Tanya points out that water is the symbol for craving because it's the nature of craving to continuously grow, just as water causes living things to grow. When we get something we want, we may feel satisfied temporarily, but sooner or later, there's always something else to want. And the more we satisfy a particular desire, the more we crave. The extreme example of this, of course, is addiction. So while fire keeps us in conflict with what we don't want, water keeps us running after what we do want. And these two negative forces are the flip side of each other, keeping a person trapped in a state of continuous, restless discontent. Next is earth, which represents fear, anxiety, sloth, and ultimately depression. So while fire and water keep a person dissatisfied and restless, at least the person is active and functional. With earth, a person's mind becomes polluted with constant thoughts about how bad everything is, and instead of getting angry, a person becomes anxious, fearful, and unmotivated. After all, if something bad is always bound to happen, what's the point? Why even try? And this is the negative energy of earth. If a person gets taken over by this energy, one can become psychologically paralyzed and non-functional, God forbid. Lastly, air is the quality of meaningless activity. It's the tendency to always be busy with something. And so it's kind of the opposite of earth, in which you don't want to do anything. Externally, air could manifest as constant chattiness or jokiness, gossip, boasting, and general discomfort with silence. Internally, it manifests as that busy mind we were talking about, always churning with thoughts about this and that. It's related to the slang term airhead because it's the craving for superficiality, for constant entertainment. Imagine someone talking incessantly with the television on in the background. That's air. This air quality is unique among the four elements. On one hand, it doesn't carry much of an emotional charge with it, as the other three do. In this sense, it's easier to master in any given moment. Once you're angry, depressed, or craving something, it usually takes time for these feelings to subside. A busy mind, however, can often be cleared almost completely by taking a few deep, conscious breaths. Of course, cultivating a mind that stays quiet over time certainly takes more practice, but clearing the mind for just a few moments is effortless. So in this sense, the air quality is much easier to deal with. But easier doesn't mean less important. In fact, mastering air is the gateway to mastering the other three. This is because all of the ego's qualities, as we've said, are fed by thought. Thought is their food. If you can free yourself from thought, you have the master switch that frees you from all four elements. In the Tanya, this is expressed in the phrase, the mind controls the heart. When you direct your mind to watch your thoughts, to watch your feelings, and to watch everything that your senses perceive, the negative energies of ego are powerless to seduce you, and you're free. The Torah reading, Parshat Vayakhel, begins with Moses assembling all the children of Israel. The word Vayakhel means he assembled. Moses then tells them about the mitzvah of Shabbat, Sheshet Yamim Ta'aseh Malacha, 6 days you should do work, Uvayom Hashvi'i Yiyeh Lachem Kodesh, but the 7th day will be a holy day for you, Shabbat Shabbaton Ladonai, Kol Ha'oseh Vo Malacha Yumat. Now these last words may seem disturbing. Kol Ha'oseh Vo Malacha Yumat literally means all the doers on it of work will die. This is usually understood to be a harsh law, that those who violate Shabbat will be put to death. Death penalty for not keeping Shabbos. Oy vey. But there's another way to read the verse. Kol ha'oseh malacha, all the doers of work, vo yumat, on it will die. In other words, the me that is the doer of the work, the me that's identified with my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions, will die on Shabbat. Why? Because Shabbat yiyeh kodesh. Shabbat is the sacred space of simply being. And this is the deeper meaning of Shabbat, not merely as a particular day in the week, but as the space of consciousness within which this moment arises. So how do you enter Shabbat consciousness? Simply allow the presence of everything happening in this moment to come into an assembly within your field of awareness. This is the hint of the word vayakhel, assembled. Rather than be out in the whirlwind of thoughts, judgments, and emotions, come to the eye of the hurricane by simply connecting with your breathing. Connect with your sense perceptions. Returning your awareness back to the present moment experience of your body. And back again. And back again. Training yourself to live from Kadosh Kedoshim, the center of awareness within which all the elements of your experience are assembled into a whole, regardless of what's going on externally. So to help us connect with this practice of continuously returning our attention to the body and to breathing, to allowing the fullness of everything we perceive to assemble into wholeness, let's chant the words, Kol Hanshama Tehalelya. Kol Hanshama can mean every soul, but it can also mean all of your breathing, because Neshama is soul and Nishma is breath. Tehalelya means praise Yah, praise the divine wholeness that includes but also completely transcends everything in your experience. So the idea here is that when you ground your awareness in your breathing, your body comes alive with presence, and every breath is like a prayer. Every breath is a tehillah. So let's sing. Shabbat. To your heart, offering your awareness as a gift to the fullness of this moment, to Hashem, to the Divine Presence, Lecha, breathing in, Lecha, and bringing left hand to your belly, connecting once again deeply with your body. Bringing awareness down into your legs, flowing down into your calves and feet and toes. Shining up into your heart and lungs, shoulders and neck, down your arms, hands and fingers. Shining into your face and your skull. And feeling the flow of your breathing. Chanting Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. Touching your forehead with your right hand, becoming conscious of the space of consciousness, aware of awareness, borderless, open, free. With Vinishma, breathing in. Venishma, body and your breathing, and we'll sit for about 7 minutes. closing with the three portals, bringing your hand to your heart and chant.
Ha, breathing in.
Lecha. Left hand to your belly, connecting with your body and your breathing. Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. Touching your forehead, aware of the open space of this moment. Venishma, breathing in. Venishma. Atahu, all blessings to you. Until next time.